Okay, let's go then to agenda paper 20, the last topic for today, which is the disclosure project and accounting policies. Who will tee this up?
Hi. Afternoon, everyone. I'm just going to dive straight in. So in July 2020, the board gave staff permission to begin the balloting process for the disclosure of accounting policies, which amends IAS 1 and IFRS Practice Statement 2. As a result of comments received during the balloting process, we have identified two issues on which we would like the board's input. Paragraphs 7 to 17 address the first issue, which is whether to introduce transition requirements and at an effective date into IFRS Practice Statement 2. Our first question for the board is, does the board agree with the staff recommendation that transition requirements or an effective date are not added to the amendments to IFRS Practice Statement 2? With that, I'll hand over to you guys.
Was still muted. Anybody who wants to make a comment? I see Sue.
Siobhan, thank you very much. Thank you for the paper. I think it's good to have a board discussion on this, and in particular to make sure that we all agree with the recommended approach here on effective date relative to on management commentary practice statement. I'm laughing at you chewing, Hans, on mic. I'm fine with question two, so I agree with question two. I'm also okay with question one. I'm not so concerned about having requirements, if you like, in inverted commas, for which version of the practice statement you need to apply if you're applying the amendments in IAS 1 that require disclosure of material as opposed to significant accounting policies, because I agree this is guidance, and so the key thing is applying the requirements in the standards, and then this is just material to assist people in understanding how to do that. What I'm most interested in is making sure that it's as easy as possible for people to understand what it is they should be doing, so sort of accessibility, if you like, or complexity. And as long as I think it's clear in the practice statement what version it is that you're picking up, so you know that you are picking up the version that has been amended to reflect the changes in IAS 1, so that you know that you're picking up the version of the materiality practice statement that just doesn't just talk about what does materiality mean, but has got the specific bit that covers how to address accounting policy, so that you've got all of the information that you're hoping to use, then I'm fine with that. And I'm presuming that even if we don't have an effective date paragraph, there will be something in the materiality practice statement itself that would say that this practice statement was revised as at this date to add these examples or something, just so you know what version it is that you're looking at from a version control perspective. Is that a fair assumption?
Should the board agree with this staff recommendation, we would not have anything like what you described in the body of the practice statement. We would just simply put in the basis for conclusions that the board had this discussion and concluded that an effective date or transition requirements weren't necessary.
I just wonder how helpful that is for people. So we know that in different jurisdictions, people, you know, pick up bits of our materials at different times and repeat them in their jurisdictions. And some do it, you know, as we make changes. Some do it, you know, in batches, you know, sometime afterwards. So I'm not sure that I see why it wouldn't be helpful to at least have a paragraph in there that says this is the version of the practice statement as at, you know, amended as at that date. Even if I don't say anything about, you know, which version to use. So, you know, if I buy a book from a bookshop, I can look at the front and see which edition it is. And it's not because the words are necessarily different. It's just a piece of information that you have. And I just wonder whether it would be just useful for people just so they can be sure that they're picking up the version that they hope is going to cover, you know, how to think about accounting policies.
Just to respond to you, Sue, that the introductory blurb to the printed versions of the standards do explain as when amendments have been made to those standards. I must admit, I don't actually know what the position is with the electronic versions on the website. We would need to go back and double check that to see if there is something there that talks about when that particular version was amended or introduced. But I can certainly go back and have a look at that.
Okay, Bruce.
Thanks, Hans. I too don't disagree with the staff's recommendations. I guess what triggered me off just with a comment was when you're saying we're going to include something within a basis or for how we've done this. My only concern is the argument to how we got there, and I'll tell you why. When I read through the various parts of the paper, I mean, when I look at arguments like, for example, in 10D, that one to me made a lot of sense, okay, where we talk about the fact that we don't think it's necessary. I could live with that one. What worried me a little bit was when we got to paragraphs 11, 12, we kind of then start differentiating practice statement one and practice statement two and trying to align which one's closer to a standard and which one's more like an agenda decision. And I just worry that anybody reading that cold who's going to pick this up and start reading that we're kind of analogizing which practice statement's more like a standard, which one's like an agenda decision, I would worry that could create confusion. And I guess so all I'm saying is just be conscious when you're putting that wording together that's going to justify why we're not having an effective date or why we don't think we need to have one. I just wouldn't analogize too much to the other items we've got, because I just think then people are going to start saying, but hang on, is this something that stands on its own, or do we need to start saying which or which? So you can just get a little bit of confusion coming in there. Other than that, I agree with the staff's recommendation.
Okay, Rika.
I saw Tadu.
Tom.
Or Tom.
And Tom.
Tom, maybe Tom in front of me.
Oh,
Tom, Tadu, and me.
Yeah, I just want to echo Sue's comment that it should be possible for people to identify when something was changed, not for an effective date, but just, I know I've done this going back in reviewing standards and looking at them, and it can be very, very hard to know what was in place in a given year and just many, many people, academics, users, legal decisions can sometimes rely on it. And so there should be somewhere where the date of a particular version of the practice statement is just simply dated, as Sue said, just the way you would have this edition published, you know, 2020 or something. However you do it, I think to leave nothing would be a mistake.
Okay. So Rika now? Oh, Tadeo. Yeah, Tadeo and then Rika. Sorry, this is a very difficult job.
thank you, Hans. I agree with the staff recommendation, but actually I may not agree in a second situation for practice statement. Why I'm saying that is I think that what the change that we have made in the practice statement, actually they are applicable even before the change of ISU1. I mean, that might have some difference in terms of terms, but that is no problem if someone applies, for example, in my view, the practice statement in advance. It's just a concept of materiality to help, for example, to apply the materiality when using the IFRS standards. But because of these, but I may have a situation when I have made a major change in a standard and the practice statements strongly linked with this standard, and then I may need to change some of the terms and even the principles in this practice statement, then it may not be adequate to use this practice statement before you apply the standard. I don't think this is the situation. That's why I am agreeing with the staff recommendation. Thank you.
Then now, truly, Rika.
Yes, thank you, Hans. I agree with staff recommendation, and If the basis of the practice statement explains why the revisions were made and where the practice statement was updated this time, I think it suffices in the context of the practice statement. And given the fact we publish many non-standard materials to support the consistent application, so the consistent consideration and approach of not explicitly including effective date should be maintained.
Okay. Can I see who supports the staff's recommendation in question one?
Can I be difficult? So this vote is on no effective date and nothing in the document to say which version you're reading. That's what we're voting on. Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think actually we could, in the document, we will have something in the basis for conclusions that explains that there are new paragraphs included in the document. So the basis for conclusion starts out by saying it was amended. The practice statement was amended, and we can put a date in there. So we would be able to do something in the basis for conclusions. But I don't know if that's sufficient for you, Sue, in terms of giving people notice that this was a revised version they're looking at.
We ask people not to read the basis in a way that sort of has, you know, an effect on the front. So my preference would be, I'm fine with no effective date type paragraph, but my preference would be to have in the actual document, you know, as amended, as at, blah, blah, blah.
And Rachel, you said that you were going to take a look at that.
I think it's a matter of the bound volumes have some sort of information up front.
Yeah, but you're saying no in the document. Just say that. That's fine. I think the staff is proposing that the basis will say, you know, this is what's happened. But in the actual the materiality practice statement standalone, there'll be no date. If you happen to be reading it in the bound volume, you'll see a date, but not if you just looked at it standalone.
Okay. Can I see who supports the staff's recommendation?
Just going to count that one more time. Seven in favor.
Is that enough?
Yes, that's enough.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Okay. Moving on, paragraphs 18 to 24 address the second issue, which relates to a revision to paragraph 117B of IS1. So our second question for the board is, does the board agree with the staff recommendation that paragraph 117B of IS1 should state that accounting policy information is expected to meet the definition of material if it is needed to understand other material information in the financial statements?
Any comments? Nope. Oh, Mary.
I just want to say that I thought that this was a very helpful revision. We're trying. It's really hard to balance being helpful with thinking about knock-on consequences with the definition of materiality. And I'm glad that the staff took the time to bring this back to the board, because I think it's something that will serve us well in the long term.
Okay, can I see who supports the staff recommendation? All right. Okay, that brings us to the, I believe that this brings us to the end of the conversations for today. Thank you very much, and we'll see each other tomorrow again. Thank you.